So Emmanuel, we put this case together because, you know, initially when the first charted data came out, there was a subset of lower volume, smaller number of Mets that didn't, quote, seem to benefit. But it looks like now when we present this case to the audience, you don't see very many people not treating, even though there are only three rib Mets. How do you approach patients who are asymptomatic, Emmanuel, and have, you know, minimal volume disease? Are there situations in a younger patient like this where you're just going to use an LHRH agonist, or pretty much all of them are going to have something added onto it?
So first of all, between docetaxel and abiraterone, in this case, I would lean strongly towards the abiraterone. In my opinion, the data is not as strong that in the low-volume disease, docetaxel early adds a benefit. And then the second question about de-escalating therapy and forgetting about the abi altogether, I would do that in certain occasions, especially if I was planning to target the metastases with a radiotherapy or some other metastasis-directed approach. I may give less ADT and try to treat the Mets.
Any thoughts? You see 15% of the audience is saying enzalutamide now in this situation. Emmanuel, any thoughts about how that's going to factor in, for example, in contrast to abiraterone?
Yeah, I mean, I was less impressed with that data because the OS was not predefined as a co-primary endpoint, and the primary endpoint as designed was met, which was RPFS. But if we have two other choices that do extend overall survival and one that we don't know if it does or not, I probably wouldn't use Enza in that setting.
Howard, would you like to do a counterpoint to that? What did you think about the data? Is that a strategy you think you might want to start thinking about?
I think the data is reasonable. There's enough experience across pretty much the whole spectrum of the disease, and they're all pretty similar. One of the things I just following up on what Emmanuel mentioned, this is a patient that, you know, you might consider adding radiation therapy to the rib lesions at some point. And we actually have a formal protocol now that's asking that question. If you rarely see complete elimination of disease in bone.
So you're saying radiating asymptomatic bone mets?
We would treat this patient with a combination of hormones and SBRT to the lesions that are visible as a possible elimination of disease strategy. We're trying to shift the equation from let's wait till something happens as opposed to let's see if we can get rid of everything.
I've not heard that one. Oliver, what do you think about that idea?
Well, there are two elements here for radiation, and one of them I did want to expand on because I don't think we touch on it. So the STAMPEDE trial looked at a low-volume subset defined by charted radiated the prostate, and it came out better on overall survival. That was published in Lancet, presented at ESMO. So there's definitely a potential role. Now, this patient would not have fit low-volume charted, so it's outside the axial skeleton. So this would not have been...
Three rib Mets wouldn't have fit the low-volume thing. Wow.
This would actually not have been a low-volume by charted definition. But there is a low-volume here, and I think what Howard's saying is very reasonable. You know, first of all, you might want to radiate the prostate, and then you may want to come back and use metastasis-directed therapy to take out three little rib lesions. And then that way you've radiated everything, and then plus you've got your ADT abiraterone on board. I think some of these patients can go on for a long time.
Yeah. So I don't want to get too far off on the tangent, but yeah. I'm just kind of curious. Matt, do you radiate the prostate in patients with metastatic disease a la STAMPEDE?
Yeah, we have data supporting that, and Howard didn't comment specifically if he'd include the prostate in the radiation part of the radiation treatment. Two thoughts on this one is one, I mean, I'm accepting that these are three rib metastases, but rib lesions are notoriously false positive, and I'd worry about that a little bit. And the other thing is this construct of high volume, low volume. What we really are thinking about is this patient's cancer-specific mortality. This is a young, presumably healthy guy. He has very little competing risk. He's destined to die of prostate cancer. And I think we need to include that as part of the treatment plan.
Let me clarify on our program is for the newly diagnosed patient with low volume metastatic disease. It includes integration of surgery, which is removal of the primary tumor, pelvic lymph nodes, and in selected cases, we're actually doing RPLNDs, and with a radiation to visible lesions by bone scan to a maximum of three isocenters.
So just real quickly, Oliver, we're going to run through a couple more scenarios. Liver Mets, Oliver, again, in the hormone-sensitive situation. The audience seems much more oriented towards chemo, docetaxel. Agree or disagree, Oliver?
Disagree, and I don't think the data justify.
And you see that there's, again, a little bit of a spectrum of how the faculty responds to that situation in terms of liver Mets. One other question I was just kind of curious about, Cora, maybe you can comment on it. In this decision about whether to add, for example, abiraterone and now enzalutamide, but we asked the audience about abiraterone, how much toxicity is add? As it is, the patient's going to get started on ADT. So that's a whole new way of life for people. But then the question is, how much more toxicity are you adding by bringing in, for example, abiraterone? A lot of the audience thinks that it doesn't really add that much more on top of ADT. What do you think, Cora?
I don't think it adds in a lot more toxicity. The toxicity has to do with long-term being on corticosteroids in the long run. But when we did the original abiraterone studies, I mean, we didn't really know if patients were on abiraterone or they weren't on abiraterone, and they would either live or die, and that's how we knew. This was patients post-chemotherapy. So I don't think abiraterone in and of itself is very toxic. There are those few patients that have some cardiac problems. But as an idea, it's not a toxic drug. What's more toxic is the corticosteroids on the long run.